Come on, can we lift our hands and our voices and just say, thank you, Lord. Father, we are here because we're learning how to let go.
Amen.
We are learning and discovering the joy of what it means to be still in your presence. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, can we honor the worship team and thank them this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Yeah, go ahead and have a seat this morning. Here's a thought for you. How do you make someone hungry? You starve them, right? That's one way. See, I don't think the enemy gets it. When he starves us of the Lord's presence, when he tries to keep us from feasting on his presence by throwing all this stuff in our way, he doesn't realize that he's actually making us even more hungry for the Lord. And what some of us need to realize is that we don't have to starve. We don't have to go hungry. Now, the other way you make someone hungry is you put the aroma of food out there, right? You put the aroma of some good, for me, like fried chicken or baked cookies or a cake or candy, sweets, you know, and that's probably not the stuff we should be hungry for, but God is good. Fresh bread. There you go, Jacob. Thank you. Keeping it healthy and real. Communion. But there's this nature of God that his presence is like an aroma, and it's an aroma of goodness that actually reminds us and it draws us in, right? It reminds us that, oh, man, I've been hungry. I've been famished for too long. Lord, what do I need to do? And the simple thing that we just sang, be still my heart, be still my soul, is where it begins. The Lord promised us that we are seated at a table in the presence of our enemies. And that's not the person sitting next to you. It's definitely not your spouse, surely not your parents or your kids, not the next door neighbor and their dog. That is not our enemy. Our enemy is spiritual. And there's demons and demonic principalities and powers and all of that. And it's in front of them that the Lord has made a banqueting table for us to sit at and feast on his goodness. And the invitation is open to each and every one of us. And most of you in this room that I know, those of you that I know, have responded to that invitation. And there might be some of you here today, because I don't know all of you, that have never responded to the invitation to sit at a table and feast. And before you go any further, I just want to give you the opportunity to respond, to come and say, Lord, I need to understand how to overcome. I need to understand what it means to be more than a conqueror. I want to understand what it means to exchange my tears and sorrow for the joy and the gladness. And the answer is Jesus Christ. And if you're not born again, as the word would say it, or if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, where you've acknowledged him as the king, as the one who gave his life, gave his all, so that you and I could have a new life. If you've never said these words, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life, I confess my sin, that I want to make sure that invitation is made available to you this morning. And made available in such a way that you can pray right now with me, because we're going to pray it. You can turn to the person that brought you or invited you this morning, and you can pray it. You can find me after church or any other person in this room and ask them. And if you so happen to run into the other person in the room that doesn't know Jesus Christ, well, then the two of you can pray it and talk about it, get together this week and start to discover what God has for you. You can call that longtime grandma or parent that has probably been praying and interceding for you to know Jesus. You can call that strange neighbor that has knocked on your door, brought cookies, and prayed over you. You can call that person that you know at work that just drives you nuts, that talks about Jesus night and day and has nothing bad to say, but is like full of joy. You can call them and apologize this week and go, I get it now. I see it now. And then you can join them in this crazy journey that we call salvation. But if you're here this morning, I'm going to ask that all of us bow our heads and our hearts and just make this public decree. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Would you just pray this after me? Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Son of God, and I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life. And as the Lord of my life and your blood offering, I confess that I am not capable of dealing with my own sin and my separation from God the Father, but through you, Jesus Christ, I now have access to a life eternal filled with joy and peace and unity with the Father, Son, and Spirit. And I invite you to be the Lord of my life, to rule over area of my life to fill me with your spirit and to renew my mind so that I may know from this day forward, I am a new creation bought and paid for with a life filled with eternal joy and peace with you forevermore. And I declare that every sin that is past, present, and future, that your blood, Jesus Christ, has made me right, whiter than snow, forever one with you. And I believe this, and I seal this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. If you're here this morning and that was the first time you've ever prayed that and you're bold enough, I'd love for you to raise your hand. If you're not bold enough yet, that's okay. There's no condemnation. But one of the things I would validate and encourage, because I know it to be true in my life and I've seen it true in other people's lives, is you got to share with somebody. And those of us who have walked with the Lord long enough, if we are not sharing the gospel message with others, then we're actually not living the Christian life. If we are not taking the good news that has transformed our life and given us eternal oneness and peace with Jesus Christ, then we're allowing others to remain where Jesus refused to let us remain. He refused to let us remain in darkness. And so he spoke to someone, he visited us, his word came alive. Maybe you had angelic encounters, maybe there were demonic spirits present and you just decided no more, and under an unction of the Spirit, you changed. But none of that was possible without first the love of the Lord. Amen? And one of the things that I believe that as we continue to navigate the coming seasons is that our voice, our message of the gospel has to get louder. It has to get louder. And I'm not talking about louder where we start beating people with the Bible or we condemn people or we if you stand on street corners, God bless you. There's a calling for that, but it's maybe not for everybody. But we have to get louder. And we have to get louder in such a way that we're not okay with the compromise that the world is settling for. We're not okay with the enemy continuing to take ground, because the truth is we are not going to hell in a handbasket. God has already determined that this will be a beautiful and glorious journey of us seeing more light than we've ever seen. But what needs to happen is that our voice begins to contend against the voice of darkness. And the light that we are begins to be released, because what good is a light if you just keep it bottled up under a basket, under the disguise of, I go to church on Sunday, but I'm not about to confess that I'm a Christian any other day of the week. Listen, this isn't a condemnation. This is just a call, because I believe that what you guys did last Sunday as a congregation of Valley Christian Center, and then what we validated Sunday night as a congregation of Hope Chapel to say that we're going to be Echo Hills Church, is about us declaring that we actually have a sound to release. And it's in oneness and unity with the Spirit of God. I shared this on Sunday night when Pastor Mike came to me. Let me stop and say this. Thank you. Thank you, Valley Christian Center. Thank you for those members that were here last Sunday and you voted to approve and validate this name right here. I think there's a slide with our logo, Echo Hills Church. Thank you for acknowledging the leadership that both Pastor Mike and the board and myself and Hope Chapel have endeavored to believe that this is what God is calling us to do. After service last week, Pastor Mike called and just said it was a unanimous vote. Because we had a little conversation. Well, what do you do if it's not unanimous? We had no concern about being in majority, but the reality of maybe there'd be few that just aren't on board. And what do you do with that? And again, our resolve was simply this. You just love them. We just love you. And if you're in that place where you're still wondering what on earth is going on and why are two churches merging, what happens to my church that I love, Valley Christian, and my senior pastor, Pastor Mike Richardson, and what happens to the church I love and got saved in at Hope Chapel and my beloved pastor, Hope Chapel, Jeff, you know, what happens to all of that? And the truth is, we're not going anywhere. Like, you can still love us, and we're still going to love you, and we're going to love others that join us along the journey. And the excitement about all of this is that when I look at that and I think about, Lord, what do you have in store for us? It comes back to the cry of my heart. It's to preach the gospel. It's to heal the sick. Come on, it's about raising the dead. It's about casting out demons and cleansing leprosy or whatever skin issue or health issue there is. And just because we change the name doesn't necessarily that we're abandoning who we are. If anything, we're growing into something more. That Valley Christian in itself couldn't contain. That Hope Chapel in itself couldn't contain. And the beautiful thing that Pastor Mike's been preaching on is that in unity comes more revelation. And so we're contending for more revelation. We're contending for the sounds of our young ones to come forth, right? And the sounds of you sages in our midst to come forth. Because if you're still breathing, God's still working. And so I just want you to hear my heart and hear me say thank you. But when Pastor Mike came to me initially and said, hey, what do you think about the name Echo? I was like, I don't hate it. And he goes, yeah, that's exactly what my wife said. I was like, well, that's why I get along so well with her. But I had to get away with the Lord. Because we had thought through a lot of names. We had started to solicit names. Many of you, you've got vision and you gave us names. And it wasn't that none of them were good or right. It's just, Lord, we want to know what it is we're embodying. Because we believe that a name can embody something more and give us identity. So as I got away with the Lord, this is how the conversation went. And I don't know if this is how the Lord speaks to you, but this is how he speaks to me. Hey, Jeff, that prophetic word that you give to people, where do you think it was first spoken? By you? Who do you think first spoke it? You? That desire to see that person healed, who gave you that desire? I came up with that, Lord, because I am that righteous and good. No, I gave you that desire. Who gave you the ability to even know how healing works, Jeff? How the power of the Spirit works? Well, you, Father. And I know enough to usually answer all those questions with, well, you, Lord. You, Lord. And all of a sudden, he began to just show me, so all you're doing is simply being my echo on earth from what I've released in heaven. And immediately I went from, I don't hate it, to, well, there's something behind this. Lord, what are you doing? The Echo Hills part, because it didn't come because our church is located on Echo Hill Street. God bless Scott Trotter, if any of you know Scott Trotter. He oversees Days of Praise, and he's part of our team at Hope. And he's going to be part of our team as Echo Hills. But I'm sitting with Scott Trotter in a meeting one day. And he's a graphic designer, him and his wife. And they own a company called Image Design. And so we had taken the name to them to start to work on logo designs. And he's like, Jeff, did you know that the church is actually on the street Echo Hills Drive? Yes, I did. The name correlates with our location. Yes, it just so happens it does, Scott. He's like, I had no idea. Now, for all of you, so that sign that we see down on Snake River Avenue as you come around the corner, Hope Chapel and Valley Christian Center, the sign you see as you enter the property, Hope Chapel, Valley Christian Center, Echo Hills Drive. Yeah, Scott's made those signs, and yet that's just Scott's innocence. He can make 1,000 signs and probably never read any of them until the Lord comes and says, hey, Scott, Echo Hills Church will be on Echo Hills Drive. And he just gets so excited over that kind of stuff. That's profound, Jeff. I go, yeah, it is, Scott. But that's not why we named it Echo Hills Church. We named it Echo Hills Church because we believe that we're carrying a sound. We also believe this. How many of you know that you won't get much of an echo out in an open plain where there's nothing for sound to bounce off of? And the beautiful thing is that we all have valleys in our life that we've overcome. We all have aspects of our personal life that God has spoken into, and it now can echo into the lives of others. It can now be used, and has always been this way, but we're going to intentionally consider this, be used to speak into the lives of others, that the dark places are redeemable, that the low places can become high places, that there is never a place that you can go that you have outreached or gone further than the reach of God's hand. It's impossible. And because of that, we believe that, Lord, we're going to celebrate the hills and valleys in our life as things that we're overcoming, as things that we're seeing other people overcome, as things that we know are not permanent, but totally temporary. And so this morning, I'm just going to take some time and share with you this heart that I have for where we're going and some words the Lord's given me. But we're going to pray for the offering and give you a couple of announcements before we get into the word. And so would you just take a moment and just collect your offering? I want to invite the ushers forward. We'll pray for that. Thank you, Jesus. Would you take that offering and just hold it up before the Lord this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, this offering speaks of our heart's posture to trust you, to say that, Lord, you are more than enough, that, Father, you know our need before we ever ask. And so we ask, Lord, that as we give today, we would experience and encounter the overwhelming joy of being generous. We'd encounter the overflow and the provision that comes when we obey and we give out of love. And Father, we thank you for the leadership, Lord, of our churches, of our boards, of our council, of our unity, that, Lord, has the Spirit on them to steward the finances, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ advance, Lord, locally and globally. And so we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we've been given to give in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Those ushers are going to come around with those baskets. You can drop the offering in the basket. If you have a Bible this morning, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As you find your way there, please be sure to check out the bulletin. It's got some announcements in it. Family Promise, a local ministry that we partner with here in town. Our week to participate is coming up August 4th through the 10th. Find Deanna in the office. You can call her this week or stop by and see her. If you're not familiar with Family Promise, it is a local ministry that helps displaced families. And so we provide food and fellowship. If you don't have time to make a meal, a gift card to like a Happy Day restaurant or something is generous. And so we're part of Family Promise. Just a heads up. So our children's ministry starting next month, in our Sunday morning service, we're just giving our leaders, a break. And so we are just going to be showing them some movies. And so if any of you are willing to volunteer and help us out for the month of August, we'd love just to, give our teachers and our helpers some time off, with that. And so we've made it real simple by just kind of making a movie available each week for them to sit and watch. The other thing that is not in your bulletin, but I want to make you aware of, starting next Sunday night, 6 p.m. for the month of August, Hope Chapel, our Sunday night service, is doing a series called At the Movies. And we're using local modern-day movies. So like next Sunday, it'll be the movies Cars. If you've never seen Cars, it's got some great illustrations in it regarding truths that we're all walking through. And so if you join us on Sunday night, we're just kind of doing a laid back Sunday night service. We have some clips from movies and some testimonies and some preaching in the movie, but it would be like you're at the movies. And our themes are simply dealing with change and dealing with having to be a team and build new relationships. And so we're using the movies Cars. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Good Lie, but it's about the Sudanese refugees that came to America under that campaign. But it's an incredibly powerful movie. You'll get snippets of it. The Lego Movie. I don't know if any of you watched The Lego Movie, but you'll definitely want to watch it after seeing little clips of it. And then for whatever reason, Guardians of the Galaxy. All four of these movies, they're just fun little movies. And we're just using clips of them to share and deal with the reality of change, coming together in new relationships, building team, and being the church. And so that's our Sunday night. Each night is about 25 minutes worth of movie clips and then me on the screen preaching. And so that's what we're doing starting in August 4th, and then we'll be here tonight at 6 p.m. All right, so I'm going to spend the next few minutes with you talking about this theme. Next Sunday, Shelley Ulmer is going to be preaching, and then the following Sunday, I'm going to finish up this message. But we're going to talk about seeing the unseen. And the reality is that most of us would recognize and believe, because science is also proving this, that there's a reality beyond what is seen. Now, as born-again believers, this is super important to us, because we are to believe that we are seated with Jesus Christ in a heavenly place right now. But it may not look like it. It may not feel like it. Some of us wish we were there right now. Others of us feel like, man, I know I'm there, but I'm also dealing with reality and the sense of the natural. But there is an unseen world in front of us right now. There are angelic beings. There are demonic spirits. And the likeness we can make this correlation with is something we probably all understand, and that's radio waves, right? Right now, passing through this room are a whole bunch of radio waves, infrared waves, the internet signal, all these different types of waves, the light spectrum. We're only able to see a small portion of the light spectrum, but all of it is permeating right now our unseen reality. But with radio waves, it takes an instrument to make that which is invisible become visible, visible to our ear at least. And so when we start to dial into the right frequency, we can begin to pick up the sounds that are in the atmosphere, that are moving around us. The same is true in the spirit. The same is true in our faith. When we dial into the right frequency, when we come into alignment with what God has said in his word and what he's commanded us to do as born-again believers, all of a sudden, we can see what is unseen. That's why there are times probably when you're at work or with your family or in environments that might not be like church or highly spiritual in the sense of Christian, people might look upon you and go, man, what is your deal? Why are you so full of joy? Why are you able to handle that issue and not be overcome with it? It's because you're able to see something that they cannot see. The beautiful thing is, you know, at Christmas, you've bought a gift for your kid. You know what's in the box. You know what's wrapped in there. You can see it even though it's completely veiled, right? Because you went to the store, you bought it, you picked it out, you brought it home, you put it in a box, you wrapped it all pretty, you put ribbon on it, you put their name on it, and you handed it to them. You can see it even though it's veiled. All they see is a box, but they have great hope that what's in that box is something valuable, something precious, something they desired, something worthy, something that is going to excite them. And this is the dynamic of our faith and our hope. See, if God was to come to us and just hand us a box and leave us in the state of constant hope, his caution is that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Here, you can have this present, but you can't open it and you can't know what's in it. But I know, I'm not going to tell you, but let it sit there. That is not our God. That is not how God works, and that's not how he wants us to work. So, Lord, we ask for forgiveness if we've ever done that, or we bless those that have ever done that to us. Because how cruel would that be? Now, there's a sense of, like, in our house, like, we put our presents out at Christmas, like, 3 or 4 days before, because I love that. And I don't think it's cruel. I just think it's parenting. Aha, you can see it, but you can't have it. I don't know. I'll repent over that later. But I love that. I love that mystery. And there is a dynamic of that in our faith where God requires us to engage and have hope, to pursue in such a manner that, Lord, I see that you've given me something, but I want to know what's in it. The same way that as a gift giver wants to see the expression and the counter and the joy that happens when that kid opens up the present or your spouse or your loved one comes along and discovers the gift that you've given to them. See, God is the same way with his children. He wants us to know him. He wants us to discover what is unseen. But it will remain unseen if we take an apathetic approach to it. It will remain veiled if we don't actually engage the process or how God has called us to engage. And so I want to give you 4 words this morning. And I'm going to only deal with 2 of these this week, and then the others we'll deal with in 2 weeks. But the first 2 are simply this. It's explore. You and I are called by the Spirit of God to explore things. To begin to seek out. So when I use the word explore, what other words come to mind? Just shout them out. Mystery. What else? Looking for. What else? Suspension. Yes. Searching. Adventure. Absolutely. To unveil. To leave no stone unturned, right? Explore. One of the prophetic words that we're carrying in this season that ministered to my heart as we began to pursue unity is that this guy came along and he just said, I just see these 2 congregations coming together as frontier explorers, meaning that you're willing to go where other people aren't willing to go, that you're willing to lay things down and change your course. And he had no idea what we were into or what we were even doing. See, that's how God works. He brings us along and he confirms the journey. So the first word, explore, we'll dissect and look at in a moment. The second word here is the word exchange. What comes to mind when you think of exchanging or the exchange? Trade, what else? Changing, what else? New, exactly, right? What else? Say that again. Host? Oh, cost, yes. Host. Cost, absolutely, cost. What else? A bartering, right? To trade, to hand off, to switch, to convert, to pass on, to swap, to replace, to invert. So these two words have value as we pursue our growth in the Lord, because what God is inviting us to do is to explore the expanse of his glory. And in 2 Corinthians, I want you to find this and read this with me. It'll be on your screen. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's been encouraging them about who they are, about being these vessels of clay that carry the goodness and the glory of God. But sometimes, as we all know, there comes this burden of, Lord, when is this going to change? When is this going to shift? When are things going to get easier? When are things going to be fulfilled in the way that you promised them to be fulfilled? And he gets to this point in verse 16 where he's encouraging them and he's encouraging us. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Say that out loud with me. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Amen? We do not lose heart. Though we might not see it yet, we are promised that we can open the gift and discover what's in it. Though we might not understand what it fully looks like for Hope Chapel and Valley Christian to be one, we are willing to say, Lord, it's okay. We're going to go forward. We're willing to know and wanting to know that Echo Hills Church is what you have for us next. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What's this mean? Paul is saying, hey, listen, I know some of you are getting weary. Some of you are getting older. Some of you have lived a great life. Some of you are discovering a great life. But it's not about your physical ability or your physical posture. It's not about getting more wrinkles. It's not about your hair turning gray. All those things that are changing, that's not what really matters. What matters is what's going on in the spirit man of you, the inner man. And that inner man, when we don't lose heart, when we continue to explore, when we continue to exchange, when we're willing to experience, when we're willing to embrace, gets renewed day by day by the Spirit of God working in us. And he classifies it by saying this, hey, listen, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen, I realize that not every affliction may feel light. It may not feel momentary. It may not be something you wake up to and say, oh, yay, I get to be afflicted today. But in the scope of eternity, in the landscape of all of what God is doing and orchestrating, it is but a moment. Yes, a very difficult moment, a very challenging moment, a very uncertain moment, all true, but still just a moment. And what happens sometimes is that we begin to let that moment rule our lives, steal our joy, take our hope. And the caution that you and I have been given by the Spirit of God is to remember, do not lose heart. Do not grow faint or weak or succumb to the tactics and schemes of the enemy. Do not bottle up the wellspring of life, your heart. Remain that planted tree along the river of righteousness and hope. Drink from it. The song we sang, Lord, that we would drink from your river of life and never get thirsty again. Do not lose heart, for your light affliction, but what is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It goes on to say, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So his encouragement here is simply this. Listen, you might be losing heart because you fixated so much on what is seen. You might be feeling weak because you've let the moment define your life. You might be losing hope because you're seeing only what is seen. How do you get out of that moment? He tells us, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He's telling us to change our perspective. Shift. Begin to explore a new territory. Begin to discover something that you've never seen before. Do something you've never done before so that you can see something you've never seen before. I think I've preached it here, but if not, write this down. Beholding is becoming. Whatever we behold will become. That's why God is so consistent throughout his word to caution the fellowship that we take with other people, with spirits. If you fellowship with gossipers, guess what you become? A gossiper. If you fellowship with the depressed, guess what you become? Depressed. Unless, because we're not supposed to isolate ourselves, we're not supposed to stick out a stiff arm and disassociate or not engage. We're supposed to come back and go, listen, I can be amongst gossipers and not become a gossiper because I'm beholding something greater. I'm not stuck in the moment. I'm not beholding just the act of sin or the unrighteous activity or the evil intent. I'm actually able to go into those environments because I'm beholding something far greater. I'm able to explore the possibility that, Lord, you can change a man's heart. You can change a woman's attitude by us beholding something greater that is probably unseen to them if they're still stuck there. But it takes exploring. It takes exchanging. And so this idea of fixating on what is unseen is actually a practice that I want to make sure all of us are engaging in every day. And the greatest way to do it is to get up and begin to pray. Engage through prayer. Because the truth is, what you're saying in your prayer is actually a revelation of what you believe, of what you've already fixated on. Lord, I really pray that my boss doesn't accuse me today of making another mistake. That prayer reveals that your eyes are fixated on your boss coming after you. Versus, let's see what's unseen. Lord, I bless my boss. I don't know what's going on in his life right now, but Lord, I just bless him. And Father, if there is an irritation, if there is a wound, if there's something that's, you know, dysfunctional or tumultuous in his life, Father, let me have an answer for him. Let me have a word of knowledge. I'm willing to see what is unseen in the circumstances. Lord, I pray, let's not even pray for the boss. Lord, I pray that no matter what comes my way, I'm going to keep my joy. I'm going to remain in peace that surpasses understanding and guards my heart. I'm not going to allow the enemy to have 1 minute of my time or attention today. I am putting myself in a posture as I pray to encounter what is unseen because I want to see it. But it begins with our prayer life. It begins by us even posturing ourselves in a position where we let the words of our mouth begin to bring order to our day. Because how many of you know that our words have the power of life and death? And that so many of us are living under a self-fulfilling prophecy of destruction because we've actually said, I'm worthless. I can't do this. If any of you want to read a great book right now, it's called Time Bender, written by Dan McCollum. Absolutely. I've been preaching this for a year and somebody's come along and just written such an elegant, simple book about the nature of our time. I don't have enough time. I'm busy. I can't get to that because I got to get to these other things. And the truth is you control time. Time does not control you. You are not the slave of time. If anything, this has to be our foundation as born again believers, that when we got born again, we all of a sudden got put into a whole new reality of time, and it's called eternity. You and I are to take time and make it work for us. So there are simple things we can change. Rather than saying, I'm so busy, it's go, I got a full day. I have a full day because I chose to let it be full. Is there the spontaneous, the unexpected? Absolutely. But we embrace it as an opportunity versus a curse that's robbing us from something else. Part of being still is being able to manage time. Great book, Little Rabbit Trail. Dan McCollum. Time Bender or Bending Time. I've got movies in my head too with the same title. So it's either Time Bender or Bending Time. I'll bring a copy. I'll bring some copies and leave them out. So look at the word explore here with me. Jesus says in John 11:40, and I just have these 2 points and we'll get out of here so we can go explore and exchange. Jesus said in John 11:40, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" Now, this verse comes out of the scenario where Lazarus, his good friend, who is the brother of Mary and Martha, has passed away. And Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus already because he was off in a city called Bethany, not too far from Jerusalem. But they sent for him saying, "Hey, Lazarus is super sick. He's going to die. Would you come?" And he chose not to. He intentionally chose not to, so that the glory of God may be revealed through the Son, is what the verses say there earlier on in chapter 11. But when he finally gets there into Jerusalem, Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Now, in the Jewish belief, it was believed that after the third day, your spirit departed and could not be returned. That was the mysticism of the day. That they believed that nobody could be raised from the dead after the fourth day. So what does Jesus do? He's about ready to exchange their theology and get them to start to explore a new reality by coming along on the fourth day, which their mystic belief said, why even pray for the dead? Because they can't be raised, their spirit has already moved on. And Jesus is going to say, nothing is beyond the Father. And so what does he do? Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come out. But right before that, he makes the statement to Martha and everybody standing there, didn't I tell you that if you believe that you would see the glory of God? Listen, I don't know what stone or death is in front of you, but if you believe, if you and I believe, if we would take the time to stop and consider that, Lord, there is something beyond what I am naturally seeing, physically seeing. There's an unseen reality. Then all of a sudden, the promise of there is nothing impossible for God can become a reality. Because everybody else in that moment, all they saw was you were desecrating and defiling. You were violating and dishonoring. And yet Jesus could see something they couldn't see. And sure enough, the glory of the Lord through the resurrection of Lazarus came walking out of that tomb to everyone's surprise. And the beautiful thing about the gospel message is that when we see it and we proclaim it, it gives the ability for others to see it. But it all starts by you and I being willing to explore what is unseen. What is unseen right now in your life, but is a promise in your life? What is unseen in your life, but it's a written word? Is it your healing? I can't see my healing. Is it financial provision? I can't see financial provision. Is it your prodigal sons and daughters coming home, but I can't see them coming home? Is it restored marriages? Is it activated gifts? Is it stepping out into a new job? What is it that is currently unseeable, but is a promise that you and I need to explore and begin to see it in the spirit? Begin to believe it in our eyes. Begin to see it in such a manner that manifestation is already known. And when it happens, isn't the big issue anymore. We just know it's going to happen. Listen, when I was younger and I had three tiny babies in our home, because we had kids 1, 2, and 3 within 24 months. I mean, we just, you know, it had to have been longer than that, but the space in between them, because we didn't have twins. Now I want to do the math in my head, but, all three in diapers, just super young. I remember waking up one morning and two of them were crying and the other one was doing his thing. And just, it's like the Lord just gave me the ability to see them like all grown up. And it was the weirdest moment, because here they are, three little infants, very young, crying, doing their own thing. And it was like, all of a sudden, it was an unspoken fear that I didn't realize I had of like, are they going to make it? Am I capable of raising them up to be men and women? And it was just in that instant flash, like, I can see them. And all of a sudden, it dispelled any fear of my ability. But it caused me and provoked me to now pursue, how do I be a good parent to get them to that which I saw? How do I get equipped to provide for what I know is to be? See, then the Lord came along and said, Jeff, I'm not asking you to raise good sons and daughters, daughter. I'm asking you to raise men and women. I'm asking you to raise future husbands and a wife. I'm asking you to raise my children. And all of a sudden I had to start to see them that way. Even though, you know, now they're all teenagers, you know, 16, 17, and 18. And I'm trying to still see them as little kids because that's what I want. But the beautiful thing is that the Lord will give us sight to see. Which then takes us to our last word this morning. And it's simply this, exchange. And in this exchange, we find this verse in 1 Peter 2. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, you and I know, we just did it this morning, when we made that prayer of confession and acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord, he made a great exchange. 2 Corinthians talks about that we are a new creation in Christ, that we are now ambassadors of the ministry of Christ, that we are called unto something greater than just this temporal time or moment. But you and I have to begin to understand the value of exchanging this world for his world. Exchanging our ways for his ways. See, when we read this verse, it says you are a chosen generation. If you don't believe that you're a chosen generation, if you don't believe that you're here right now to have an impact on not just your home, your neighborhood, or your cities, but the nation and the world, then you're missing out and you need to exchange that thought for a greater thought that's true. You are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation to be part of the unification of Valley and Hope Chapel and Echo Hills Church going forward. You are part of a chosen generation to make disciples. You are a chosen generation to deal with an opioid epidemic in our nation. You are a chosen generation to deal with the issue of abortion. You are a chosen generation to go after the industry of pornography. You are a chosen generation that God needs to speak and to declare and to make an exchange that says, Lord, I'm willing to give my life to see your life come on earth as it is in heaven. How do we even get to that place we started by exploring? Lord, what would it look like to get fear out of the way of being an explorer? What would it look like to get the past or the expectations of others or the imprint of family that wasn't healthy or dysfunctional out of the way and be the new creation that God's called me to be and go do something that changes the world? And here's the test. Do you believe you can change the world? Because if you don't, then I guarantee you will never try. Because what you behold, you will become. And I'm not talking about having your name listed with some title. I'm not talking about standing in front of a million people under a crusade to change the world. I'm talking about being obedient to whatever God has called you to change the world. Because that was the mission. That was the commissioning that Jesus gave us. Go to the ends of the earth. And if we do it collectively, I guarantee you it'll be a whole lot more fun and happen a whole lot faster. But it involves this exchange. If you believe, you can look, let me give you two more. If you believe that you are not a royal priesthood, the priesthood, if you didn't understand priesthood, you can look this up this week, but the priest's responsibility was to stand before God and represent all of earth. The prophets were to stand before all of earth and represent God. In the New Testament, we're priest and prophet. We're a priest that stands before God on behalf of our brothers and sisters, on behalf of the lost, on behalf of our community, on behalf of the nation, on behalf of our politics and our government. We stand before God interceding as priests, but not just priests, royal priests. We have authority. We have power. But a priesthood requires an understanding of a kingdom and an understanding of a domain. And right now, some of you, your domain is simply your family. For others of you, your domain might be the business you own. For others of you, it might be the ministry you oversee. For some of you, you have an aspiration or you were at once were one time in politics or government. And so your domain increased in that area. Know your domain and desire for it to increase. Know your place and desire for God to impact it and have influence beyond it. But what does it take? It takes an exchange from any stinking thinking that says you're not a royal priesthood. From anything that would go against that word, a holy nation. Listen, we are grafted in to the tribe of Israel, who is God's chosen people, a holy nation. Holy just means separated. God separated the children of Israel to make them a mark on the earth that he was real and that he had a plan and purpose for all creation. He could have probably chosen any tribe, but he chose specifically the Hebrews under Abraham who left and became Israel. You and I are grafted into that nation. We now represent a holy nation, a nation of people that are separated under the purposes of God. If we are living below that standard of holiness and separation unto God, I guarantee you the evidence of the kingdom of heaven on earth will be lacking. And in that lack, that means people continue to perish. And may it be upon each of our hearts by the unction of the Holy Spirit that none would perish, because that is the word of the Lord. He longs for none to perish. But what is necessary is this exchange, exchanging fear, exchanging idolatry, exchanging this petty mindset, exchanging selfishness. Pastor Mike, a couple weeks ago, out of Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, right? Exchange that. How are we going to make disciples? We're going to create a safe place for them to explore. How are we going to discover to work with one another, deal with personality differences? We're going to explore what it looks like. We're going to exchange. Or then in 2 weeks, we'll talk about the experience and the embrace. Would you bow your hearts with me? Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and praise this morning. Father, we thank you that we can acknowledge that you extended to us this great exchange through your Son's blood for us to go from death into life. But Lord, that work isn't done. That exchange isn't done. That exchange, even in our own life, isn't done. We're continuously addressing the need to exchange thoughts, exchange attitudes, exchange mindsets, exchange postures, exchange idolatry issues, and exchange fears and rejection and depression and anxiety and all these things, Lord, that would love to have its way in our life. But we thank you that, Lord, as we explore you, as we discover you, as we get into your presence, as we become more and more comfortable with, Lord, who we are in you, Lord, the quickness and the readiness and the willingness to make these exchanges becomes so yes and amen oriented that, Lord, it's just a rapid movement of growth. And I pray that each and every one of us in this room, Lord, would be actively participating and intentional about exploring new territories of our faith, engaging in new activities of what it means to be a born-again believer, spirit-filled, working with the angels of heaven, working with the ministry of the Spirit. And along the way, we're going to make exchanges. We're going to do repentance and confession. We're going to do identificational repentance on behalf of others and make that exchange when they don't know better, when they don't know the words, as we see throughout the Word. Father, we're going to come and humble ourselves. We're going to say, Lord, I don't understand what I see, but Lord, I'm fixated on what is unseen. Father, I pray that each and every one of us this week would begin to discover the beauty and the power of a life that is motivated and built upon and fueled and empowered by truly what is unseen. And that is your glorious glory. That is the eternal expanse of heaven. That is the invitation of us opening our eyes as we are seated at your right hand, Jesus, and just gazing upon your beauty. And I pray that as we behold it, we become it so that it can be seen. It will be noticeable. It'll be influential. It'll be transformative. It would cause others to be convicted and to begin to rise up and go, I want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords the way you have him. I want to know this great exchange. I want to know, Lord, what it means to be sent out as one to heal the sick and raise the dead and prophesy and have words of knowledge, to have insight and solutions to problems that have plagued society and humanity for centuries. To see strongholds and mountains come down and the low places become high. Lord, I thank you that each and every one of us in this room have this great invitation to know what it means to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And to celebrate that, Lord, we were once in darkness, but we've been brought into your marvelous light in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you all right? I know some of you are still getting used to my preaching style and obviously my timeline as I look at the clock right now and realize I am not a slave to time. Amen. But thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. We'll be here tonight at 6 p.m. One of our team members, Jennifer Pelletier, is preaching, and so I love it when she preaches. And then we'll be back next Sunday. If you've got any questions, let me say this to you. One more thing, sorry. So I sent a letter out to Hope Chapel, the members of Hope Chapel. I know some of you have got it that are Valley members because you've donated to Hope Chapel. So you would have been on our database. But those of you from Valley that did not receive a letter from me, I would love for you to have access to that. So it's on the back table. In there, you'll find a letter from my wife and I just explaining our changes, which most of us are aware of. But in there, you'll also find a question and answer sheet. So if you're feeling like you're not getting your answers, your questions answered, it's just a starting place. It's not exhaustive by any means. But the other thing that is in that letter, and then there's a copy of it beside the letter on these two back tables, is what we're calling connection events. And they're opportunities for you to attend and just get some more answers, to participate in prayer as we continue to unify. Some of them involve Sunday night services. Some of them are involved Monday evening meetings. But they're just opportunities, again, to make sure that we're not letting anybody fall through the cracks or miss out, because we value what God is doing in your life and how God is speaking to you. And if we can answer questions, if we can give you answers that we haven't answered, we want to make sure that's happening. So that letter, I just simply made extras. We made extras, and they're available for any of you that would be interested in the letter that went out to all the members of Hope Chapel explaining things. I apologize, I'm not aware of anything that has gone out in the mail to the Valley members yet. I know we both talked about doing it, and so we got ours out 2 weeks ago, but there's some information. That's on the back table. God bless you. Thank you. Have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday. Amen.